iMovie Battle. Dude! Butterfly Effect, The Machinist. Movie battle begins now.
Welcome to Movie Battle. Each episode, superfans battle it out to see which film is best. Here's your host, Kevin Armstrong.
What is up, party people? Welcome to Movie Battle. I'm your host, Kevin Armstrong. This is episode 23, The Butterfly Effect versus The Machinist. We're taking a trip back to 2004 on a quest for salvation. This couple movies, you know, deal with the way our mind works and just thoughts that pop in our head and how we handle that. And just kind of, you know, just mental health in general, it plays a big part in this. Two major stars, darker than we normally do here, but very good rewatchable movies. We'll bring the super fans out in just a moment, which I'm very excited about. It's our first married couple. We got Ben and Karen Collins from the Crime and Compulsion podcast, and they crush it. I mean, they knock it out of the park. I'm so excited for y'all to hear them. But first, here are some quick facts and tidbits. The Butterfly Effect was written and directed by Eric Bress and J. McCoy Grubber. It stars Ashton Kutcher, Amy Smart, Eric Stoltz, William Lee Scott, Eldon Henson, Logan Lerman, Ethan Suplee, and Melora Walters. The Butterfly Effect was released January 23rd, 2004. It had a budget of $13 million and a box office of $96.8 million. Rotten Tomatoes score is 33%. The Machinist is directed by Brad Anderson and written by Scott Kozar. It stars Christian Bale, Jennifer Jason Leigh, Atana Sanchez-Gijon, John Sharon, Michael Ironside. The Machinist was released January 18th, 2004 at Sundance. It had a budget of $5 million and a box office of $8.2 million. The Machinist has a Rotten Tomatoes score of 77%. The big thing about The Machinist is how Christian Bale lost 62 pounds in 4 months on a diet of water, one apple, and coffee. He would get down to 120 pounds. His character, Trevor Resnick, was derived from Trent Reznor from Nine Inch Nails. Writer Scott Kozar was influenced by the Russian novelist Fyodor Dostoevsky's novel, The Double. Butterfly Effect 2 was released on DVD on October 10th, 2006. They had a totally new cast, and this was largely unrelated to the original. There was also a third one, Butterfly Effect 3, which was released in 2009. The Butterfly Effect is, you know, been long around before the movie, and it's a popular hypothetical situation that illustrates how small initial differences may lead to large unforeseen consequences over time. All right, well, there you have it. We'll have the super fans out in just a moment. Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our next guest is making his first appearance, Ben Collins. Ben attended Clemson University. He is an accomplished musician and had a band for over a decade. He is both a drummer and the audio guy. And Ben also is the co-host of the Crime and Compulsion podcast with his wife, Karen. And Karen says Ben is totally responsible for their clean sound. So definitely a big audio guy here. Ben is a business analyst living in South Carolina with his wife, Karen, and two young boys, four dogs, and bearded dragon. Ben, welcome to Movie Battle.
Thanks, man. Excited to be here.
Absolutely. We're glad to have you here. Glad to have a Clemson guy here. I'm from Raleigh, North Carolina, so part of ACC country.
Nice.
So I've been familiar with Clemson my whole life. I could probably go deep on, I mean, I could go deep on Eldon Campbell and Woody Danzler and
That's a whole nother podcast, though.
Yeah, that's a whole other podcast. All right. Ben, how would your parents describe what you do for a living?
So as far as a business analyst, I actually kind of get both sides of my parents. My dad has been a big computer guy for the longest time. So that's kind of where I get my computer side of computer skills. And then my mom, she's an accountant. So that's where I get my analytical side. So they're actually pretty proud. I kind of merged their two talents into what I do currently.
Okay. Well, that's beautiful. That's awesome. Yeah. You know, drawing from both parents, that's the dream.
Yeah. And then they're supportive of the podcast, but I don't think they get it. They like the Hallmark true crime movies. I don't think they're into the kind of cases that we cover.
I tell you what, my wife and I, we were watching some Hallmark movie once and we didn't finish it. And I still want to know how it ended. And I don't, all I remember was the mom from Home Improvement was in it.
Really? I haven't seen her in a long time.
Yeah, that's what I was like. I was like, yo, that's Jill Taylor from Home Improvement.
Right.
And it was like there was a bakery and that's, I don't know. I'll never know how that ended probably.
Yeah, man. Anyway. But I feel like if you've seen one Hallmark movie or one Lifetime movie, you know how they all end.
Now that you say that, I think I do know how it ends.
I'm sure you can give a good guess on that one.
Definitely. All right, Ben, I always ask, who plays you in a movie about your life?
Yeah, man, that's a good question. I was listening to one of your episodes earlier today to get a heads up. So I've been thinking about it. I'd really like to say somebody cool, funny, and good looking like Ryan Reynolds is who I would like to play me. But man, if we're being honest, I thought about it long and hard, and I would say it'd probably be Charlie Day who would represent me the best.
Awesome. Yes. Going It's Always Sunny. That's great. I love Charlie Day.
Oh, awesome. Man, he's hilarious.
Yeah. Him and Danny DeVito, they crack me up probably more than almost anybody. Like,
right. And then him and Horrible Bosses with Jason Sudeikis.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Classic.
Very good. Yes, absolutely. Okay. And since we have our first married couple here on Movie Battle, who plays Karen in the movie about your life?
I told her earlier. I think she'd be played by Mila Kunis, which is a perfect lead into the movie too.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And one more, who plays Trevor Lawrence?
Whoever the actor that played Sunshine. That's exactly who. Although he's probably a little bit too old by now.
Maybe, but they got CGI and stuff.
Right.
So, okay. All right. Perfect. All right. Well, what is your go-to movie snack?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't want to say anything like plain. I'm going to say, honestly, it's not my favorite movie snack overall, but it's my favorite snack overall. And you can get the movies Sour Patch Kids, 100%.
Ooh, yeah. Very good.
Got very a real good. Bad sweet too. So
I hear you. And actually I'm supposed to be getting my wife just had her second shot and we planned ahead for it. Cause we had heard, you know, you might get weak or something. So we just decided you get a day and all your snacks and, you know, kind of a rest day and
you get
everything.
A cheat day.
Yeah, exactly. So, I got those on my, they're on my list.
Nice.
So I don't want to say I'm looking forward to it, but but we'll see.
Looking forward to having it done with.
Exactly. Yeah, definitely. All right. Let's get down to business here. You are a super fan of The Butterfly Effect. What is it you love so much about the film?
Honestly, man, it's probably when I first watched it. It came out in 2004, so I was right around, 12, 13, 14, right around that age when you're not watching kids stuff, but you're not watching complete adult stuff. So I think it was like the perfect balance of my little rebel soul at 12 years old.
Okay.
But just the whole theme behind it, man. Like I'm sure there's been other films like it before, but I've never seen one like that before, with the whole memory problems and just a sci-fi connection that it has. I don't know, man. Just, I guess this time that I watched it has been that made the biggest impact on me.
Okay. Yeah. I feel you there. Definitely. I'm just trying to imagine my 12-year-old self, trying to get down with that. That might've been much for me. Both of these, I'm thinking like, man, if I was that age, cause I mean, 2004, I mean, I think I got a few years on y'all. So, I'd have been 26. So, they're still, both kind of, you know, did a thing on me then. And even like, man, I remember last time I was watching The Butterfly Effect like a month ago, and I was like, oh gosh, man. Plus I was watching it before bed too.
Yeah, I think both of them are one of those movies. Like, I definitely agree that I did not fully comprehend the movie at 12 years old. Like, I'm the first to admit that. Like, I thought the, you know, the premise was cool and all that stuff, but no. I think both of these are movies that, you know, you're going to catch new stuff every time you watch it. And I don't think you can fully appreciate these movies until you've watched them multiple times to try to catch all of the little Easter eggs and stuff that they put in there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100%. Did you learn anything from The Butterfly Effect?
Yeah, man. The chaos theory is crazy.
Yes.
Yes. And really scary.
Yeah, I agree. There's something about, you know, anytime people, you know, try to go back and change the past or anything, like, and just, you know, I mean, heck,
get crazy. Yeah, it's like a classic movie plot. Like, it's never going to work out right.
No. I mean, didn't anybody learn anything from Back to the Future 2?
Right.
So, anyway. Was there anything you didn't understand or anything you would change about The Butterfly Effect?
So I watched it a few times. So I think I've, you know, caught as much of the Easter eggs and fully understand it as I can. I would say that if I could, I would change some of the special effects as far as how whenever he's reading his journal and he goes back in time. I think that could have been done a little bit better, but also have to remember that was 2004 and it's definitely nowhere near as good CGI as it is today. So
that's very true. Okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. I'm in full agreement with you there. All right. Well, Ben, you know, before we get out of here, we always have each guest leave on their favorite quote. So you get one. What is your favorite quote from The Butterfly Effect?
Oh, definitely when he's trying to commit suicide in the tub and Tommy stops him. He's like, you forgot to put the toaster on the ledge. He's like, yeah, well, Lenny likes Pop-Tarts. You guys are all that matter now.
Oh, that's perfect. Yeah, that's perfect. All right. Well, that's a great way to go out. Ben, I appreciate you coming on here, and best of luck to you in the movie battle.
Yeah, man, I'm ready to put my dukes up.
All right.
Excuse me while I interrupt your movie battle for just 1 second. I've got a question for you. Do you like true crime, blood, guts, gore, murder? Maybe you like nostalgia, you know, watching those old movies, or you see that guy and you're like, hey, I know that guy, he's that guy from... Well, if you do, once you finish Movie Battle, head on over to A-Side B-Side Podcast with Brooke and Adam. We'd love to have you.
Welcome back to Movie Battle. Our first guest is making her first appearance. Karen Collins attended the University of South Carolina at Aiken, where she was a true English major and can always be found with a book. Karen works as a banker in South Carolina and lives with her husband, Ben, and their two young boys, four dogs and bearded dragon. Karen and Ben both host the Crime and Compulsion podcast. Karen, welcome to Movie Battle.
Hello.
We're really excited to have you here. Big fan of Crime and Compulsion, and I'm glad to have y'all here. Y'all are the first husband and wife team we've had here, so I'm very excited.
We're very excited too. I'm gonna kick Ben's butt.
All right. Karen, I always ask, how would your parents describe what you do for a living?
Wow. You stumped me.
I didn't mean to stump you out the gate. Like,
I mean, my mother, she's a first generation, like, old Hispanic lady. Mm-hmm. So she thinks that banking is like a super elite type of job, which is not. And then the whole true crime thing, she's a big true crime person herself. So she'd probably think that's pretty cool.
That's awesome. Okay. Now the next question I have for you, I'm gonna put a little twist on it since we do have a married couple here. Who plays you in a movie about your life?
If I were to pick, it would be Naomi Scott. Okay. She's the girl that plays Jasmine in the new Aladdin movie.
Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Yeah.
If Ben had to pick, it would probably be Mila Kunis. So complete opposites.
Okay. All right. Well, okay. That was my next, I was going to ask you who plays Ben in the movie.
Seth Rogen.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Very cool. Very cool. All right. What is your go-to movie snack?
Popcorn.
Nice. Old school. Respect. Mm-hmm.
We have popcorn almost every night.
That's pretty cool. That's excellent. All right. Okay. Getting down to business. You are the Machinist super fan. What is it you love so much about the film?
I love all of the little clues that are sprinkled throughout the entirety of the movie. Right. So the first time you watch it, it's like all of these little details that you don't really pay all that much attention to. And then when it gets to that twist at the end, you're like, oh, holy cow. I understand all of those now.
Yeah, but it's even better. You know, usually you would think if, you know, a movie, oh, with the twist, but watching it over and over again.
It just gets better.
Right. Yeah. Excellent.
And you pick up on more things too, the more times that you watch it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And just, you know, coming from someone that's an avid reader like you, and also, you know, someone who does a true crime podcast, you know, picking up on those details and clues, I got to think that that's right up your alley.
Oh, definitely.
How old were you the first time you saw The Machinist?
Probably 13 or 14. It was right around when it came out.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. 2004.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So about 13 or 14. Okay. If I can math correctly.
Very cool. Yeah. Excellent math skills. My wife teaches elementary school and.
Oh, that's cool.
And she's the virtual teacher for her school. So she's been doing K through four.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, she has to go back and forth between each grade level. And I tell you what, some of that, like, they start getting the third and fourth grade math. It's not the easiest thing in the world. So.
We just finished fourth grade math with our kid. And yeah, it was a little bit of a headache.
Yeah. They start getting into those, angles. I don't know. Once you start having to break out the protractor and do everything. Anyway, I digress. Math, sometimes I just, you know, I have to apologize for math. Okay, so did you learn anything from The Machinist?
I mean, I wouldn't say I don't think it was educational in a sense that you would learn something. I think if you break it down and look at it as, you know, analyzing the theme, that's a little bit more what I would do, because the theme is pretty cool, but mm-hmm. not really anything that I learned, I would say.
Okay. Was there anything you didn't understand or anything you would change about The Machinist?
You know what? No, I think it's a fantastic movie. I'm surprised that it didn't do so hot on the box office when it first came out, because now it's pretty much a cult classic. And I mean, I think it's a fantastic movie.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I agree 100% there. Yeah, definitely. Yeah, cult classic. That's a perfect way to describe it. And it's funny how a lot of the cult classics, you know, that's how they begin. They're just kind of disappointing at the box office. But yeah, just over time, you know, you can't hold back quality work like that.
It just aged so well.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's the perfect way to describe it. All right. Well, before we head out, we always ask each guest to give us their favorite quote. So what, you get one, what is your favorite quote from the Machinist?
A little guilt goes a long way.
Perfect. Perfect. Well said. Well said. All right. Well, Karen, this has been great. Appreciate you coming on here, and best of luck to you in the movie battle.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
All right, party people. It's the moment you've been waiting for. Time for the movie battle. Up first, representing the Machinist, Karen Collins. Karen, talk to me.
All right. So this movie is spectacular. If you just break it down and start looking at the theme of it, there's that choice between hell and salvation. And we see that several times throughout the movie. I mean, when he's driving, he comes to a fork. He has to make a choice. When he's at the amusement park, there's that Route 66 or Route 666. Yeah, it's 666. And he has the same choice. And it's so obvious that Resnick's conscience is what's driving this entire journey. And he just can't forget himself.
Well said. Well said. Yeah, that his road to salvation is rampant.
Throughout the film,
which, you know, I mean, all of us at some point are, you know, can find ourselves in that situation. Maybe not, you know, to the same extent as Trevor does, but excellent, Karen. Ben, the Butterfly Effect.
Yeah, man. Butterfly Effect is an amazing movie. The greatest thing about it is the whole plot and premise behind the chaos theory, and changing one thing has astronomical effects that you can not understand. I love how the movie, you think watching that, you know exactly what's happening. He's going to go back and change, but then he changes one thing and you have no idea what's going to change in the future, whether it be his friends, Lenny or Tommy or Kaylee, or whether it be his mom. He changes one thing with his friends and then his mom gets sick because of, you know, one small effect. So I think the entire just premise behind it is what makes it an amazing movie. And then also the fact that, you know, you see him having his blackouts and you think that, oh, it's just a blackout. But then, you know, you start to piece it together as the movie goes on, and it shows you what happens during those blackouts, and you can slowly start to put that puzzle together.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm glad you brought up those blackouts, you know, just, you know, the whole thing with like his father kind of having the same thing. And, you know, as parents that, you know, we pass on so many of our traits to our children, you know, both, you know, the good ones and the ones that we hope for. And then kind of, you know, everybody sometimes, you know, can have something, maybe they're not, it's not their favorite thing about themselves. And, I know with, you know, our children, you know, my son is like, I can be kind of awkward and stuff and have anxiety about like things that you wouldn't think would be like that. But, and then he has the same thing, and I'll feel bad. Like, man, he gets that from me, you know,
Oh yeah.
You just described us.
Yeah. So
I think that's what makes this movie good though. It's a good platform for, you know, showcasing mental health and the importance of mental health.
You know, I'm sorry to cut you off, but if you want to talk about how your movie is going to showcase that, The Machinist does it better.
The Machinist showcases guilt. That's all.
No, that's not all. I mean, it showcases how your mind is so powerful that literally the fact that he cannot forgive himself, he's literally emaciated. He can't sleep, and it doesn't matter what he does. He's sitting there scrubbing himself with bleach, trying to cleanse himself. He's got like terrible OCD because he can't forgive himself. Like, if you want to talk about a downward mental spiral, it's this one.
Well, that's very well said, Karen. And your mind can mess with you sometimes. Like, you, if you just kind of get something in there and you just can't shake it, like, it'll keep you up, you know. and as, especially, you know, as parents, you know, that, that whole sleep is a, it's a premium for it. Like, it's,
sleep is precious, man.
You know, like, I'm like,
it's hard to come by.
Sleep is like gold in this house.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Why don't my kids nap anymore?
Right.
Why do they, why does that have to stop?
Or why am I trying to do a podcast on top of working full time?
Oh yes. I know that very well. So yeah, but both of these movies, you know, at first I was like, is this a good battle? And but I was like, yeah, I mean, just both of them coming out the same year. It's, you know, looking at just like Rotten Tomatoes scores and stuff, Machine is, you know, much higher, but Butterfly Effect much more successful at the box office. And one thing I saw was, and I kind of thought myself was, I guess Ashton Kutcher being the star, you know, he's still seen as, you know, Dude, Where's My Car and that 70s show and stuff, you know, especially back then, before he had a few other roles, you know, including this one. But it was almost like it was uncool to like the movie or to, you know, get behind it just because he was in it.
Well, I think he played such an iconic part in that 70s show, and this was right after that, and this is right after Just Married. So I want to say this is maybe like his first or second serious role. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's a big reason that the critics didn't respond to it as well, because, you know, from in, like from there before, he was Kelso. Like, it's really weird to see Kelso playing the super serious, you know, Evan character.
Right. Yeah.
Sometimes those iconic roles are a blessing and a curse, because some people can escape them. Some people can't.
Yeah. Yeah. That's well said. It'd be kind of like if, I don't know, like Chandler from Friends had played like, speaking of Christian Bale, if he was like an American Psycho.
That is such a good movie.
I mean, you're basically describing the whole nine yards right now.
Wow.
I mean, that's what it is.
Ah, touche. Touche.
The Machinist makes The Butterfly Effect look like a kid's movie, though.
Ah, Ben, that's a bold statement. I don't know how, you know, quite all the dynamics of the Collins household, but do you have a response? Do you have a response?
Trash talk is big here. Don't worry.
I can see that.
I think the two movies come down to the two endings and what you decide is a, you know, a harder choice for salvation, whether it's turning yourself in because of a hit and run or whether it's giving up the girl that you've been trying so hard to try to keep and, you know, make everything right, to have to give her up so that everybody else can be happy. I think it comes down to what choice was harder. And I'm sorry, like, dude's conscience is eating at him. He can't sleep. Of course, he's going to pick to turn himself in, but to pick that you're going to have to push the girl away that you love in order to save her and, you know, make sure that everybody else is happy but you, I think that's an incredibly hard choice to make. And I think that's what separates these two movies.
No, because you're talking about the theatrical version, and that's the ending that the majority of people see. And that's a pretty happy ending with everything that's happened. I mean, if you want to talk about endings, then you need to go with the director's cut, because that's going to be a much better ending.
Of The Butterfly Effect? Yes. I do need to watch that then.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to come back and debate the director's cuts again.
Yeah, well, like the director's cut, that's when he's like, he just decides to, like, what, strangle himself before he's even born?
Yeah, so, he's like, you know, the only way to stop this is if I just off myself, and he goes the whole way back and just ends everything.
Jesus.
That's a more tragic.
So they kind of hinted that in the regular one, where his dad tries to kill him to stop it, because his dad knows that all he's doing is changing the past. And then, you know, he also, you know, tried to commit suicide in the tub, but that was because he was unhappy that Kaylee was with Lenny. But then also when he was a kid, one of his blackouts, his mom came into the kitchen and he was holding a knife and he had no idea why. And it was because he tried to go back and, you know, end it there to try to save everybody.
Well, Ben, let me ask you this. What did you think was kind of the most messed up path, you know, of all the different, you know, kind of, you know, time loops?
I'm going to say when poor Lenny, he gave the metal shard to Lenny, thinking that he was going to cut the bag open to save his dog, but instead he straight up murders Tommy in the back. So then Kaylee is, you know, strung out on drugs and, you know, prostituting. And then Lenny's strapped to a bed in a mental hospital. Like, I don't think there's any worse ending. Besides, maybe, I guess you can compare when he goes, when he, like, he has everything perfect, him and Kaylee are together, and then he accidentally kills Tommy and goes to jail. But I still don't think that one compares.
Yeah, I think I would have to agree with your first one there. That's yeah, that's dark stuff.
And whoever the makeup person was for this movie that made Kaylee look the way she did, and with that scar, man, oh my gosh, she looked disgusting.
Yeah, it's hard to. I'm trying to think. What's the movie with, you know, I'm usually the Christmas movie she's in.
Yeah, I'm not sure which one that is.
She's in a couple. She's in a maybe it's a Hallmark movie or something. I'm thinking of 12 Dates of Christmas. She's in a movie with Zach Morris, and it's, you know, just very. It's the complete opposite. It's just that's usually what I think
looks
of
like
her.
a Walking Dead extra,
right?
Yeah,
that's yes, like exactly. That's crazy. Yeah, excellent. Excellent, Mick. I can't believe they didn't get any nominations, you know, for that. Usually, when I'm that's like one of the first movies of when I you know do all my research and everything, and you know, usually something at least got like a Golden Globe nomination for something like effects or, you know, sound or anything, but I didn't see anything for it.
Yeah, I think that's one of the drawbacks. Like the premise behind it is what makes it great. I think it could have been executed a little bit better.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's a good point.
I think The Butterfly Effect tries to be in the same league as something like The Machinist, but The Machinist is up there with like Memento and Vanilla Sky, and then you have The Butterfly Effect. Like, it doesn't work that way.
Yeah, but I mean, you also have Christian Bale starving himself. So I think the have a more serious actor too is what sets it apart.
Well, that's a good segue. My next question, from time to time, we like to do kind of these fantasy football trades here on Movie Battle. Is it possible to swap out Christian Bale and Ashton Kutcher for these two roles? Can you see, is Kutcher too tall to lose that weight?
I don't think he could.
Is it even possible?
He's not as committed as Bale. I don't think so.
Honestly, I thought Christian Bale was not possible to lose that much weight, but he did. That shouldn't be humanly possible.
No, it should not be. And apparently the role was meant for someone, you know, shorter, because he's 6 feet tall. And I think he lost 62 pounds in 4 months.
Jesus.
And then he goes and bulks up like pretty soon after.
Right. Yeah. He had 6 months to gain it back for Batman Begins.
It's crazy.
Yeah. He's definitely committed.
You put Bale in The Butterfly Effect, and then it's up there with something like Memento and Vanilla Sky and The Machinist. You put Ashton Kutcher in The Machinist, and it just doesn't work.
Dude! No. Okay.
Gosh. I mean, I think she's missing the whole premise of the movies. The Machinist is supposed to be this dark, ominous movie. The Butterfly Effect is doing that, but it's also more lighthearted. So, yeah, I don't think Christian Bale would work in The Butterfly Effect, because that's not what the director intended for it.
I think it was supposed to be a dark movie. I just don't think that they were able to portray it as dark as it was supposed to be.
I mean, a poor lady and her kid got blown up. I don't know how much more dark you can get than that.
That's my point. It's supposed to be a dark movie, but it doesn't hold its weight.
I think it's got a good balance.
I mean, you can be wrong.
Wow. I mean, I'm married to you, so I'm wrong a lot, so...
Caesar, just go ahead, accept it.
Perfect matchup. This is everything I hoped for. All right, this is good. Yeah, definitely. This is the first time we've had a married couple. My wife has been on here 3 times, but never as I've never been on as a guest or representing one particular movie. So this is first. Maybe I have to try this again. The relationship, just the chemistry, just everything. This is perfect.
There you go. Next time we'll come on and guest host between you and your wife.
Ah, that would be awesome.
And let you guys battle it out.
Right.
We'll
turn it back around on you.
That's a really good idea. You know, I would go get her and tell her about that, but she's actually getting some sleep right now.
Oh, how lucky.
She's lucky.
The lucky. We've gone from Easter to our daughter's 5th birthday was Friday, and we've been at the beach. Our check engine light started blinking on the way to the beach, and it's just been a thing. It's just been a weekend, and we came back, and it's just been,
life hits you sometimes,
doesn't it? Yeah. So, I was gonna say, the great quote from The Machine is, "I just want to sleep."
I feel that, like, to a religious level.
You
need to start repenting for your sins, Karen, otherwise you won't be able to sleep.
Maybe that's what it is. Maybe that's why I don't sleep.
It's that Damn, conscience.
Nice. I like that. Yeah. Have you been waiting to drop that one, or did that just come to you?
Nah, man, that was a golden nugget, man. It just popped in.
Oh, the genius right there. Oh man, that is beautiful. Okay. All right. Well, which one would you say has had the most impact on popular culture? I mean, you hear the butterfly effect, just the terminology thrown out there from time to time. But then again, the whole Christian Bale weight loss commitment, that's a big part of him. I mean, he's a huge megastar, and that's one of the things he's most known for. How do you two feel about the impact of each movie?
What do you think, Ben?
I was going to say, I think they're both going to be revered as cult classics, even though the Butterfly Effect, if you look at it from critics, didn't do as well. But I think, just like you said, the terminology, I think there's so much surrounding both movies that you can remember them by easily from, just saying the Butterfly Effect. Everybody knows exactly what you're referring to Christian Bale losing the weight, to just the whole themes behind them. I think they're both going to be, in time, remembered as classics.
I'm in total agreement.
What you got, Karen?
I just want to point out that the Butterfly Effect, the term, doesn't come from the movie. The movie was named after the term. The movie didn't do that. The movie didn't put that on the map.
It did not. But anytime you say it now, you think of the movie and you think of the effect.
I mean, if I hear it, I just think of Chaos Theory and Chaos Effect. I don't particularly think of the movie.
Yeah. You're avoiding the question.
Your movie sucks.
What a comeback.
That's a good critic for you right there, man. Don't know what to say. Let's just insult the person.
I'm going to give it 5 Rotten Tomatoes, okay?
5 Rotten Tomatoes. Your movie sucks. That's man. That's what we call that, making podcast history on a Movie Battle.
I love you too, Karen. I love you too.
All right. Well, and I feel like I have to explain this every time, when we have these movie battles, I honestly, with rare exception, can't decide for myself. That's why I have to have the super fans come on and get people much smarter than myself to come explain things and, give, these thought out perspectives that you both have. This one's, it's tough. I'm trying to think, if I walk outside and choose one to watch, I can't pick it. I don't know, y'all both done such a wonderful job here.
Come on, man, that's a political answer. We need the real answer.
I'm at a loss. I mean, you both brought your A game. Y'all being, married and, having that rapport is just, brought out the best in everybody, and we're all better for it.
You know what I would really like to see, though, we're talking about switching roles. This was Ashton Kutcher's first.
You want to see him be Batman?
No, I don't think anybody wants to see him be Batman. But I would like to see him, maybe revisit this movie with more experience under his belt. Like, he's coming straight from all of these, goofy gotcha. Roles as Kelso and Just Mary, Dude, Where's My Car? To your first issue, I guarantee you that had to be intimidating for him. But I mean, he's done quite a few movies now. I would like to see him go back and, you know, reattempt this and see, you know, how much better it could be.
I like that. Yeah. So kind of rearrange. Well, isn't that what we're doing here, though? If we're trying to rearrange the order of his career and go back in time and
it's never going to end up how we would.
We're trying to butterfly effect the butterfly effect. Okay.
We're going to make it work. Well, okay.
We're going to make it to where Christian Bale's not an actor anymore.
Maybe the guy from Twilight won't be Batman, though.
Or maybe Tom Hardy is Batman and Christian Bale's Bane now. That's what it's going to be.
Just stop.
All right. So, okay. Before we get out of here, why don't you, each of you give me your final take on your movie, and then I'd like to talk some crime and compulsion with both of y'all. Karen?
Okay. Go, Karen.
You know, honestly, I don't think there's such a thing as an original concept. You've got a couple of themes and a couple of ideas, and everyone's telling the same story, just, you know, differently. So I think with both of these movies, you're looking at very similar ideas, you know, looking at mental health and those things, but it's just, it's told in, you know, different ways.
Yep.
Well said.
I definitely agree with that. I think the whole, you know, combining the mental health, the time travel with the chaos theory is, you know, I've said it from the beginning of the episode. I think that's what sets this movie apart from The Machinist. I think that that's just an incredibly cool premise to start a movie on.
I mean, I prefer to pick up clues. I think it's really neat when movies do that.
Well, see, that's the thing, though. Like the butterfly effect, you think you know exactly what's happening. Oh, he's just going to go back in time, change it. But then clues, you don't know what he's going to change in the future. And then also during his blackouts, like you don't know what happens and you have to pick those clues up later on.
Well said. Well said. Well, Ben, Karen, this has been a historic movie battle. I can't thank both of y'all for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah,
it's
man.
Been fun.
Oh, yeah, this is awesome. I'm, you know, I'm glad we got a chance to do this. Before we get out of here, I'd love to talk about crime and compulsion. What made y'all decide to do that? Just, you know, passion for true crime, or?
Yeah, I would say it's a little bit of both. Karen's always been obsessed with true crime ever since. I don't know. She can remember. You know, I was a fan, but I was not obsessed at the point. But really what made us start, we were bored during COVID. And, you know, we just got this idea that, hey, you know, we might want to start a podcast about true crime. Or that she came to me with that. And I was like, you know, I don't really know much about true crime, but I'm happy to help you.
Right.
And it just kind of grew from there, right?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun.
It's been a lot more fun than I thought it would be.
Yeah, yeah, it is. This whole podcasting game is it's addictive. One of the y'all's trademarks is the amount of just, you know, research that y'all put into it. What's been the best, you know, the most interesting case that y'all have done, episode?
I think as far as like mysteries go, that the Outlaw Pass is a really interesting story. I mean, you have the explanation out there that whatever happened was a natural event, but then you have people missing tongues and missing eyeballs, and there was so much pressure put on their chest, and we're supposed to believe that this happened naturally.
Yeah, like if you're into unsolved mysteries or unexplained circumstances, definitely go check out our episode about the Atlov Pass.
Absolutely. What day do your episodes drop for everybody out there?
Typically on Sunday. We actually just got done, released one today. But yeah, we try to drop one every Sunday if we can, but at most every other Sunday.
Perfect. And y'all are on all the, you know, Spotify, Apple, all the platforms.
Yeah, we're on more platforms than I can name. Awesome. If it was a platform, I submitted to it.
There you go.
So you can find us. Don't worry. Crimeandcompulsion.com as well.
All right. Yeah. So everybody out there, definitely go check out Crime and Compulsion, new episodes Sundays. Check them out. Crimeandcompulsion.com. Y'all got all the social media, Instagram, Facebook, everything. So yeah, definitely check them out. Ben, Karen, once again, thank you all for coming on here. And I look forward to talking to y'all again.
Awesome. Thank you, Kevin.
Thanks, man. It was fun.
Thank you for listening to Movie Battle. Special thanks to Ben and Karen Collins of the Crime and Compulsion podcast for joining us. As always, you can follow Movie Battle on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter. If you're feeling it, please share on social media and recommend to friends and family. Thank you for coming correct.